Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it is now time for the good, the bad, and the dumb. And we get rolling along on this Tuesday with the good of the day, Leonami.
Good of the day. Well, you know, yesterday I think I was either bad or dumb went to baseball.
Yeah.
Right? MLB. Specifically, but today the good of the day is the MLB Rookies of the Year.
They were great choices.
So, yeah, and I think what made it even good, maybe better, best even, was the fact that both of these guys were unanimous choices, and yeah, they had to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for the American League, it was the Orioles' Gunnar Henderson, who we heard his name called all throughout the season.
That's right.
And for the National League, Diamondbacks' Corbin Carroll, which you called about the midpoint of the season that he was going to be the Rookie of the Year.
Hey, hats off to me for guessing something that ended up being an obvious choice.
Yeah, and if you didn't, if you didn't know him beforehand, because I think Gunnar Henderson was getting a lot more press.
I do too.
You did get to see Corbin Carroll in the World Series. You know, and he did some good things there.
The Orioles won 101 games, and they took over the division, and they became a big story. And the Diamondbacks were a team that you went into the last weekend of the season thinking you weren't going to see them around anymore. And then they made the playoffs, and then by losing and having nobody catch them, and then they took advantage of the postseason, and Corbin Carroll started to become known through houses around America that paid attention to the playoffs. Hit .285, had 25 home runs and 54 stolen bases. Fantastic.
Yeah.
So great for him.
Yeah, this
beat out Kodai Senga of the Mets. He got 150 points or votes, like first place votes are 5.
Yeah.
He got all 30 first place votes.
And Gunnar Henderson beat out Tanner Beebe. And I mean, I'm looking at this list. I don't really, you know, I didn't really see any names I knew. The one thing I was shocked about when the National League results, and I don't know if this was because of injury, but I thought, remember early on, Ellie De La Cruz just lit the world on fire, and he got one vote.
Remember, that really slowed down.
It did.
It really slowed down.
But he got hurt, right?
Yeah, he did.
He got hurt midway, so I mean, maybe that was a setback. But if you had asked me in April who the Rookie of the Year was going to be, I thought it was going to be Ellie De La Cruz just running away with it.
Exactly.
Remember,
Anthony Volpe of the Yankees, I thought he would get more than just one third place vote. I thought he would be higher up. He had a really good season.
I guess
because the Yankees stunk, why would you even entertain that?
I was going to say, the New York media was very upset with the Yankees and was like, we'll just throw one vote at them.
Apparently not with the Red Sox. They had Yoshida get votes. They had Casas get votes.
Yeah.
But not Volpe. It's got to be tough to vote. It's got to be tough. You vote first, second, and third, and you just look at some of the lists and you go, I can't vote for you. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I want to go with Altman with the Dodgers, or I want to go with, you know, Perez in Miami. I'm sorry, De La Cruz, I can't vote for you. So, but yeah, great choices, obviously unanimous and fantastic.
Yeah. Really, I mean, is that I don't know. I can't remember if this is common or not for both awards to be unanimous.
Yeah,
Rookies of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, it just takes one guy to think you're second, not first, and then you don't get it. So, but to have both of them, it's pretty awesome. And again, Corbin Carroll, what a great run, what a great postseason run he had. Like, didn't look like a rookie at all in the postseason.
No, he didn't. Looked like he'd been there for God forever.
Exactly. Seen a lot of rookies in the postseason look like deer in headlights. He was definitely not one of them. All right, what is the bad of the day?
All right. My bad of the day has got to go is the fact that Brandon Staley needs to be fired.
Yeah, that's been the outcry.
So, yesterday we did talk about the Chargers a little bit and that embarrassment of a game. It was just a shootout that they were on the wrong end of. But some stats and some other things have been brought to my attention today or last night into today. And that's why he's in the bad. He's got to be fired immediately. So Brandon Staley is a defensive guru. Did you know, Tony, that his team has given up 475-plus yards 4 times this season?
If that's your selling point to have gotten a head coaching job and then that is on the end of failure, you're done.
Since 2021, the Chargers have given up 112 plays of 25 yards or more. They lead the league. But I think the most egregious thing, and this is the one that I found out this morning because I wasn't aware of this until I was scrolling Twitter. the Lions sealed the win with this running play, Tony. It was the exact same play the Jaguars ran.
Oh, my goodness.
To seal their win in that playoff, that comeback playoff win last year. The only difference, the Lions ran it to the left, the Jaguars ran it to the right. But it's the exact, I mean, everything to a T is the exact same play. The way the guards pull, the way it was it's a counter run play.
It's got to be tough. I don't know how the mindset of some of these guys is always, they have an ego, so they feel like they are the smartest person in the room. But do you think some of these guys, when it's going really bad, have told maybe just their wife, that's it, I am way in over my head, honey. I have no idea how to fix this. Or do you think they just go, nope, I know what I'm doing. Leave me alone. I know what I'm doing. Because that's where you get into trouble.
And that's where this is right now, right? Because the Chargers, we know the Chargers have a good team. They got great pieces on defense. They got a great offense. They have a generational quarterback right now. And the fact that they're below 500 and the teams that they have lost to are teams that they probably shouldn't have lost to. Now, I'll excuse the Lions. I think the Lions are going to win be the number one seed in the NFC.
Sure.
Just based on what they're doing and the record, you know, the teams that they have to face. They have a much easier road than anyone else. But, yeah, I mean, I wonder if Brandon Staley goes home and goes, I don't know. I just can't figure this out.
I try this. I try that. It doesn't work. I do this. It doesn't work. And here's the thing. You're right. They just signed Justin Herbert to a big contract. They're locking that Hall of Famer potential in their team, and they better have the right coach.
As they should.
Better have the right coach.
And, you know, it's not helping that you have I'm blanking on the OC right now. Kellen Moore, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, they have Kellen Moore sitting there, who everyone thinks is, you know, the next up-and-coming coach. And then you have those rumors of, hey, you know what, college isn't liking Jim Harbaugh anymore. Jim Harbaugh does have history in San Diego. Why wouldn't he want to go back and coach the Los Angeles Chargers?
Yeah, right.
You know, he's been to Southern California. He's been a California guy, Northern California too. Why wouldn't he want to come back and just coach these guys? You know, and have this generational quarterback at his fingertips.
Yeah, this is a really, really tough situation because they have to make this move. They have to. Again, I don't want to see Justin Herbert not in the postseason, barely getting into the postseason. He's too good for that. He's too good of a quarterback to be wondering if he's got a team around him. And that and it really stems from their coach. Really, it really does.
I mean, you know, funny thing is that he hasn't been as aggressive as he's been in the past.
Right.
So I don't know if he's quieted that noise where it's like, oh, what, it's 4th and 10 from our 20? Let's go for it. You know, it's really done that this year.
As a fan, do you want Jim Harbaugh to be the head coach?
I go back and forth with it because I liked what he did in San Francisco. I'm not a fan of college Jim Harbaugh.
Right.
You know, it's a little
NFL Jim Harbaugh, crazy. Yeah.
But NFL Jim Harbaugh, when he had Alex Smith and then later when he had Colin Kaepernick, he knew how to motivate these players. He's a player's coach, and he knew how to get this team rolling in the right direction. And that Niners team was pretty good.
Man, they went to the Super Bowl.
And it's just the fact of, you know, what he's able to do with, you know, quarterbacks. And that's what I like. Is that he does know the quarterback position pretty good, and I think that could help him out. But I'm willing to give Kellen Moore a shot.
Kellen Moore has been.
He's
been up for interviews before.
Yeah, he's supposed to be the next up and coming one. Yeah. And I mean, for him to make that lateral move from the Cowboys to the Chargers as an OC, I'm all for him being, get that promotion and go, you know what, let's give you the keys to the kingdom and see what you can do.
It is amazing. Like Frank Schwab at Yahoo Sports had a piece of video that I watched yesterday that I agreed with, where he said the Brian Daboll got Coach of the Year last year because everyone was like Giants, Giants, Giants. But the real Coach of the Year last year was Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota. But because they won close games and were lucky, he goes, people forget when you win close games, it's luck, but it's also good coaching. Like in those situational moments.
Yeah.
You are doing things right to make sure that if there's luck to be involved in, you're on the receiving end.
Well, and that's, you know, and there's nothing truer than that statement than with your team. with Mike Tomlin. Tomlin is a good coach. We all know that. I mean, the guy's never had a losing season. And now he has a team that, you know, is less than par. But, you know, he's finding ways to win every single game.
That's where you get a good coach. That's where you get a good coach. And look at Brian Daboll now. Once talent has kind of been in and out, they're one of the worst teams in the NFL. And Kevin O'Connell, without Kirk Cousins, they go get Josh Dobbs. He wins two games. And now everyone's like, well, it looks like the Vikings are going to the playoffs again.
He's winning with a quarterback who didn't know where his own team's locker room
was.
That's
right. Yeah, and had to leave his furniture in Arizona.
And has his wide receivers on a little cheat sheet next to the plays that he's on his wrist.
We'll get the dumb coming up next. We continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Don't forget Hour 3, Top 5 and Bottom 5. We'll also look at the Texans with our good friend Joel Blank. It's all coming up as we continue. This morning on a Tuesday, it's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Dumb coming up. Later on, we'll also discuss this Jim Harbaugh America's Team Michigan thing that everybody's all worked up about. We'll talk about that coming up. But before we do that, you've probably tried some pain relief creams, and most of them barely work, if at all. But are you ready to try something completely different? I found it. It's called Capsiva. Capsiva is a scientific breakthrough in joint pain relief by capturing the medicinal power of capsaicin. It eliminates the burn and the smell. That's a good thing because it absorbs fast, has no odor, and it works. Been using it on my shoulder, and it's been great. It's homeopathic with natural active ingredients. As a use-it-all 100% money-back guarantee. This is fantastic. Use the entire thing. If you're not satisfied with it, you can send it back for a full refund. Who does that? Capsiva has no known side effects, no known drug interactions, so it's safe to take with your other medications, unlike some of those other pain relief creams. Stop living in pain. Get Capsiva now. Find it at Meijer, Kroger Pharmacy, and select CVS stores. All right, so now we are continuing the good, the bad, and the dumb. What is the dumb of the day?
The dumb, Tony, is that motivation, I guess, can come in different forms, although this motivation didn't really work out for the team. And I'm talking about the Arkansas football team. Who were caught on camera watching Polar Express at a halftime beatdown from Auburn. That half during the beatdown from Auburn.
They were getting killed, and they decided to throw on the Christmas classic Polar Express.
Yes.
Right?
Now, I'll clarify this a little bit more. I guess the TV was tuned into Polar Express. That was in the red shirt locker room. There was a red shirt locker room that's separate from the main locker room. But to make matters worse, and where the dumb comes in, is that head coach Sam Pittman didn't even know that there was a TV in the red shirt locker room.
Oh, okay.
But I don't believe him. I believe that's another. Oh, I didn't know there was a TV. TV?
No, yeah. What's TV? What do you mean? What are these pictures on the screen?
Yeah. But I just find it funny that, you know, one of the freshmen, it was a freshman running back, is sitting there, you know, coach is talking and he's watching Polar Express.
Yeah, probably watching Polar Express. Hey, guys, look at this. Hot,
it's more entertaining. I mean, they got, I don't know what the final, I think the final score was like 51-10 against Auburn.
Yeah, they got absolutely drilled.
Polar Express would definitely be a lot more interesting.
Exactly. What's more interesting, that game or that kid on that train that was like, Montezuma, the king of the Aztecs, used to drink 20 quarts of hot chocolate every single day. Used to put in chili powder, get it? Hot chocolate? Yeah, that kid. That movie, I watch that movie every year. I love it.
I do too.
I love it. I watch it every year.
It's a tradition in our house. We all put our PJs on and have hot cocoa.
Have hot cocoa, watch a little Polar Express.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd watch it or I was getting, maybe, you know what, I might. I might watch Polar Express if I was getting my tail handed to me against Auburn.
Well, that's what I said. It's more entertaining.
Right? I might as well.
And if you're a red shirt, I mean, you should probably be paying attention because that's the type of game you do get into.
Right.
If you're a playing red shirt, I guess. But if you're just a red shirt, you're not playing anyways.
That scene with the tickets like flying through the air and it gets mouth of a beak of an eagle and dropped and turns into a ball.
And then the coyote steps on it.
Yeah, then everybody, all the animals are just taking it. And then somehow magically it flies back into the train.
Yep.
I mean, what's more interesting? Sam Pittman yelling at you or whatever or watching that?
Or the pin.
Remember
the train's going down the hill? The pin's just floating up all over the place and they can't get a hold of it?
And that scene where the train hits the ice and it just starts swaying all over the place.
Yep.
Throwing the kids all over the inside of the train.
Well, you don't really see that, though.
No, you don't see the carnage inside the train.
Although
the kids
what I would
screaming
love,
in fear.
One of the things I always loved, and I would love to try to do this, is go down that slide.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
That's like a toilet bowl that dropped you
into the
bag of toys.
Now, that looked fun. So, yeah, much more entertaining.
Much more entertaining.
Listening to Coach go, all right, we're going to have to block better.
And to hear that little girl sing the song when the northern lights appear.
Exactly, right?
That's the heart-touching moment.
It's the essence. It's the essence of Polar Express, right? And Aerosmith makes an appearance
yes,
in the
they
end?
Do.
That's right. Come on now. Polar Express.
And the elves all look like little alcoholics.
That's right, yeah.
You know, little gangster alcoholics.
They don't look cute. Those no. are those, the kind of... Kind
especially when he's like
worn out.
Trust me.
Yeah. Trust me.
Like, I don't know if I. This is kind of scary. You're more troll like than a cherub little elf.
Billy, the poor kid from the other side of the track.
Other side of the tracks.
Right. And drop him off.
Doesn't even have like a full PJ set, just wears dad's shirt.
No.
That's how poor they were.
Rings for him, but doesn't ring for his family anymore. Broken.
Yep.
Exactly. Polar Express. Way to go, Arkansas.
I'm just glad he got it back.
Love you.
I mean, he left it in Santa's sleigh.
Is there a Christmas movie that you don't watch? Like, you just can't watch it? This is terrible. I'm not watching this.
I don't really enjoy Jim Carrey's Scrooge.
Jim Carrey's...
Christmas Carol?
Oh, the Christmas Carol one. Yeah. Okay. That cartoon?
That cartoon one?
Yeah, that's a little weird.
I'm not a big fan of that one. I mean, I have seen it a couple times, you know, but the problem in our house is that we have favorites that we just cycle through over and over and over again.
Yeah, but there isn't one that you've left out of the Culver household? Well, you said, listen, guys, I think we can all agree this movie stinks.
I mean, that's
not every Christmas movie's awesome.
No, but that's Jim Carrey's Christmas Carol.
I'm not a fan of that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got you.
I'm trying to think of other Christmas movies.
Yeah, you know, like that one, Elf, Scrooged.
You don't like Elf?
I like Elf. No, I'm just saying, these are the ones that are in the rotation.
Oh, yeah.
Every single year.
Oh, so you do like Jim Carrey's Christmas Carol?
No, I do in a way, but not. Here's my problem with that, is that I love the story.
Right, yeah.
So I love the Christmas Carol story, but I haven't really found one that I really want to watch every year. Like the George C. Scott one is a little too old for me.
Yeah.
And I haven't really, and then people modernize it, and I don't want a modern version. Get me in the Dickens world with the hats and the canes.
I'll be honest with you, man. I just stick with Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Mickey's Christmas Carol, yeah.
Get the story right. Jiminy Cricket, fantastic.
I will have to say this. If you really want a good holiday movie where the actor is 100% in, even though you think he could have just mailed it in, Michael Caine in The Muppets Christmas Carol,
okay.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's
a
good choice.
He is acting as if he's in Macbeth. Like he's looking at Miss Piggy, and he's like she's, you know, like Rita Hayworth, and he's looking at Kermit like he's Laurence Olivier. Like he's literally in this movie. Like I'm in this movie. I don't care what anybody says about me hanging around with the Muppets, I'm in. And he's great.
All right, I got one for you that I avoid, that I will never put on in my house.
Okay.
I think I saw once, and once was good enough. And, I have no desire to ever see this movie. And that's, I believe it's called Jingle All the Way.
Oh, yeah. Is that with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I don't think
Sinbad.
I've ever seen that. I'm with you. Yeah, I have no interest in that. And a lot of it is because you just said, and Sinbad.
And Sinbad.
Right. Once
not,
I hear and
not
Sinbad,
as a genie,
I'm
though.
Likely,
he's
not
a genie in this movie. Just giving you a heads up.
Oh, okay. He's not a genie.
Not a genie in this movie.
Not a genie in this movie. That's
but no,
right.
I saw one. I think I saw once, like, when it first came out and was like, okay, that was annoying.
Yeah.
It literally is about a guy who's just trying to get a toy for his kid that's, you know, one of those hard to get toys, and he's doing every possible way underground stuff. It's stupid.
Yeah. What about Die Hard? Is that a Christmas movie in your house?
I mean, that's the time of the year that I watch it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say yes.
I'm in. I'll take Die Hard as a Christmas movie.
Yeah. I mean, we've done Die Hard. We've done Die Hard 2. Those two are the only, out of the Die Hard franchise, those are the only two Christmas movies.
There you go.
You still need to watch Daddy's Home 2.
I think,
you need to make that an appointment viewing this year, because I really do believe you will laugh out loud and enjoy that movie.
When I was young, and again, I know I'm ancient, but when I was young, I lived in a world of just three television channels, major television channels. And we didn't have a VCR or anything like that when I was a kid. So if you missed CBS's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer,
it
was worth Christmas crying was over ruined. When you were like seven. Like, it was like when you looked forward to these things.
And if you did miss it, you frantically searched the TV guide. There's got to be another showing, right? There's
got to
be
another showing. And if you missed it, that was it. So if you missed Heat Miser and Cold Miser and everything else, you were done for the year. So when I got older, I was like, you know what? I love them. I love those from my youth. I'm going to be nostalgic. And every year I watch it, I find more and more flaws in them. And I go, these aren't as, you know, maybe it's because I got older. And my parents didn't seem to care if they missed those things. Realize now, I'm like, yeah, stop dipping into the past. These things are from 1965. It's stop action claymation.
Yeah.
And the stories are kind of ordinary. They're really boring.
You can really dissect it now.
Like, I'm serious. At one point, Santa says to Donner, who, because his son has a red nose, he says, Donner, you should be ashamed of yourself. What kind of message is that?
No, yeah, but Donner blames his wife.
Donner's like, yeah.
This is your fault. This is
your
side of the family.
He's an outcast, and it's your fault. Santa just told me I have to be ashamed of myself because I have a kid that's not right. It's weird.
Cover up with a little dirt.
Yeah, we'll cover it up with a little dirt and make you normal like everybody else. What a weird claymation.